Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 9 of Bear Belief on this wonderful Easter weekend. Hello, Jessica.
Greetings and salutations, Gabriel.
Greetings, Jessica. So nice to see you again.
It's nice to see you.
And it's nice to be recording again. It's been a while. We were on a bit of a hiatus. So you may have noticed our schedule was a little interrupted. I had an accident that ended and landed me in the hospital and kind of messed up with our whole schedule, and then I couldn't edit and we couldn't record and it was kind of messed up. So I apologize to you all. Do not worry. Do not fret. I am pretty much back to normal, if I can.
Whatever normal is.
Whatever normal is. I don't think anybody would ever describe me as normal, but that's on them. So we're back.
We are back.
And we are glad to be back. So before we get going on our regular topic, I just want to do a couple of shout outs. So the first shout out is going to my aunt Roberta and my cousin Anel. I know you guys are listening. I have heard a little birdie named Caro told me. And I'm very happy to hear that you're listening and enjoying the podcast. So hello to the two of you. And I can't wait to see you guys soon. And thank you for listening. And thank you for all of you for listening. I'm quite surprised by our download rates and our listening rates. It's more than what we ever thought we'd be at this point. So just want to say I appreciate you all, and I'm sure Jessica feels the same way.
I do. And we had a listener named Paul reach out and asking some different questions, and we want to hear all of that and concerns or just whatever's on your mind around this stuff. So yeah, outside of our hours, had a great little text back and forth, and it was just wonderful to hear that, like, those perspectives and experiences too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the message here. Like, do not hesitate to reach out. That's kind of one of the things that we are hoping is going to happen more and more. So if you have questions, ethical dilemmas, spiritual questions, spiritual dilemmas, doubts, whatever is on your mind, really, like, if you just want to drop a line and say hello, we are more than happy to hear about it. And you can do this multiple ways. You can comment on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@BearBelief. You can go on our website, leave a comment there, bearbelief.ca. You can write us, bearbeliefpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can leave comments on Spotify and Apple, just search for Bear Beliefs, and you will find us there. So Jessica, now that we are nearing, Lent is pretty much over. It's over today. I think it's tomorrow, the last day of Lent.
No, it was actually over this on Palm Sunday.
Oh, it ends on Palm Sunday?
Yeah, because now we're into Holy Week.
I thought it went all the way until Good Friday. I thought
because now we're into Holy Week, so it's another special time. And so each day there's been a different service for the whole week. So Tuesday you have Tenebrae, Wednesday you have Fixation of the Cross, then you have Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, Saturday Vigil, and then Easter. Yeah. So that's why they always affectionately say the Lord has risen and the clergy have died.
Because it is kind of a crazy time.
It is a crazy amount of time.
Very intense. Very intense. And I remember from my days in church, back in my church, we had the Good Friday service, and the Saturday service was my two favorite ones. I really liked the Good Friday service. I think it held a lot of meaning and it made sense from a religious perspective. Like, I felt like during the Holy Week? Is that what you call it? In French, it's La Semaine Sainte.
Yeah,
and I felt like all those services, like starting on Palm Sunday all the way to Easter Sunday, they had meaning. You knew why you were there. You were celebrating each step, and there was a story attached to it, and there was spiritual. It was very clear, as opposed to the rest of the year. Like, you would show up on Sunday and it was like, why are we even here? Like, what are we doing?
And if you look at the calendar, the majority of the time is called ordinary time.
Oh, it's very ordinary.
Right. And so I think as leadership, you can kind of get into it and you know, you sort of like, oh, okay, and do the best you can or find something creative to do. But definitely the high feasts, Christmas and Easter, that's when you put like the extra effort in, because that's when most people are showing up as well.
Yeah.
So.
But wouldn't they show up more if the rest of the time was somehow more interesting? Not necessarily interesting, but like, I remember from the days where I'd go to the church every Sunday, like, you go because it's the ritual of going. Like, it's not like I don't think that every Sunday I would have woken up and thought, you know, today I really need to go to church because I'm going to get so much out of it. And then I would show up and I would go, and then I would be bored half of the time, at least half of the time. And unfortunately, I think we had a priest back then who his sermons weren't particularly riveting, mm-hmm. like at all. Mm-hmm. I don't think I can recall a single sermon that he ever gave in, I mean, he was my priest for mm-hmm. years and years and years. So I don't know.
I think I want to say worship teams, because it's not just the clergy. Like if parishes are fortunate enough to have worship directors, organists, prayer leaders, all these things.
We definitely did not have any of that.
I think we are being challenged to that, because again, what's the purpose? Why are we going? Why, you know, there's the consumeristic competition, right? We have sports, we have jobs, we have art classes or artistic expressions, whatever, that distract us from this time, or even the heck, this is my only day off and I need actual Sabbath. And not that going to church isn't Sabbath, I just need to not be people-y anymore, right?
No more peopling.
We've sort of talked about our introvert selves and all of this, right? Yeah. So I think there's a bit of that, but I think the churches are being called to explore more. Like, there's so much happening in the world. There's so much dynamics happening within ourselves that questions are being asked. You know, the pandemic really got people thinking existentially.
True.
Right? And what is the purpose and meaning of life and all of that? So I don't think the same magisterial themes can just represent anymore. People want more.
Well, I think our needs as a society, like from a spiritual standpoint, what people need socially also is changing. It's constantly changing. Mm-hmm. I think technology is changing the way we interact mm-hmm. with each other. One of the things that Jessica and I were talking about now is that, like, when you think about it, there's a lot of churches that would be happy to have as many people in the pews than we have listeners on this podcast, mm-hmm. which is kind of like an interesting thing to think about from a spiritual leader perspective. Like, I don't know if you have thoughts on this, but I feel like my point, I'd never thought for a minute that I'd become a spiritual leader, and I don't think that's what I am, but I think we need to I think the church needs to change a little bit in its mindset as to, like, wait a minute, people are listening in different ways
exactly
now.
And I think it's generational, right? So where previous generations, the boomers primarily, know church in a certain way,
right?
And in that repetition, in that spiritual practice, they feel connected to God. They see themselves mm-hmm. in the spirituality. I think it's the younger mm-hmm. generations that are like, what is this all about? Because we don't have that traditional understanding of what is a spiritual practice even, you know, like, what does that look like? You know, for some people it's praying five times a day. For other people it's dietary things, but why do we do this? And I think the church is really being called to not just say, just because this is what we do, you know, which is no longer an answer. No, because it was the hegemony, right? Yeah. Of the situation. Yeah. Now it's not. And we're so multicultural now that there's so many different cultural expressions. And where do I see, how can I have a relationship with God in a spiritual community if I don't see myself in it?
Absolutely. We thought today that we'd explore some spiritual questions or some spiritual, I don't know, philosophical thoughts. So we'll start with today, which is a topic that I personally like, and it's something that I've been confronted with at numerous points in my life, mm-hmm. is whether or not it's possible to lead a completely ethical life without believing in a higher power. That is something that I've had thrown in my face, like, as people have told me this, like, flat out, like, how can I be a moral / ethical person if I don't rely on religion or God to give me that morality and that spirituality, which I personally have, like, it doesn't compute in my head, like, mm-hmm. to me they're not intrinsic they're they're not closely linked. Mm-hmm. Like you can, I don't know. Like I don't need God to tell me that killing someone's bad. Like it's like, to me, that's obvious. Mm-hmm. And then if we want to talk philosophy, there's a lot of leeway here because in philosophy, there you could argue whether things that we see as bad, are they really bad, or is that, you know, so we can go very, very deep. Like this, mm-hmm. this is, we can go far. But if we bring it back a notch, so personally, I don't think I need God to tell me what's right and wrong. I feel like I inherently know what, mm-hmm. what my morality is and what I believe and like what's good and bad. And I kind of live in a way by the golden rule, even though like it's like, it's just obvious. Like, mm-hmm. don't treat people the way you know they don't want to be treated. Like, it's obvious. We know, like, what mm-hmm. makes people feel bad. We know that, like, if you hit someone, it hurts. Like, and whether you hit them with your words or you hit them with their feelings or you hit them with your hand, like, it all hurts. So, I don't know. Like, I hate it when people make it so that try to make me feel bad or try to make me out into a person that has no morality or no ethics just because I don't necessarily believe in this God or the God that they have. I find that, I don't know, it's hogwash. It drives me crazy. I really, really hate it.
Well, I can't remember what the stat is, but the majority of all world religions have some sort of representation of the golden rule, right? Treat others as you would have others treat you. That doesn't sound like it's godly based or connected to a deity. That's interpersonal. And I think what's happened is that maybe that role and purpose has been given to the gods. Like if you look at all different mythologies around gods aren't usually the most moral, nice people, right?
No, like, they're usually pretty vengeful and vindictive.
And all of that, yeah. Right? Like, if you look at Greek mythology, you have some wonderful stories there. The Old Testament, God gets mad so many times, he's, like, flooding people out. He's turning them into salt. He's doing all these things. He's taking huge temper tantrums, right? Versus, like, oh, no, you're not supposed to be doing this or doing that. And I don't think gods have a gentle parenting style. That's not kind of what ancient gods or old school deities have. But I think what's happened sort of, I want to say more in the birth of Christendom, is that the bad things we do, morality, sin, has been linked with God, right? You want to be with God in the afterlife. You have to be good so to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But that's where exactly kind of illustrates my point, right?
Yeah.
Like in for me, my personal perception or my personal belief is like, the things I believe to be good and or bad or right and wrong is because I believe them because as a sense of morality. I don't use the fact that I'm going to be punished at the end of my life as a reason to do good and bad. Mm-hmm. I just think we should all be doing good stuff. We should all be treating each other. The fact that we had punished or rewarded at the end is kind of like if you're doing something, and I've had this argument with someone before where they were saying that I was volunteering for something and they were volunteering for the same thing, but they were telling me that their volunteer work had more value because they were doing it in the name of God. And I was like, oh, so if you didn't believe in God, you wouldn't do it? Like, what's that say about you? That, like, the only reason you're here is because you're trying to get favor from God? Like, are you kidding me right now? No, I'm here because it's the right thing to do. And I want to help my community. I want to be there for my brothers and sisters, like, whether or not they believe in God or not, like, who cares, in my opinion? And so I find that interesting, that, like, kind of perspective of, like, it's hard for me to verbalize it because it's so baffling in my head, mm-hmm. that like, no, like you should do it because it's the right thing to do. Like,
yeah, instead of the eye of Mordor, that eye looking down upon you, right? Yeah. That if I don't do this, then I don't know. I think it questions what's the purpose of God. right?
Oh, like, that's an interesting question, though.
You know, is it to be our puppet master? Because again, this is where expectation comes in. If I'm doing all the good things, then I'm not going to have bad things happen to me. And then we get questions of our faith, and our faith gets jilted when we are doing all those right things, and then bad things happen.
Well, bad things are going to happen.
Right? But it's like, but no, if I'm the quote-unquote chosen one, I'm doing everything, praying the way, doing all that, then my life should be good, right? Because I'm following your ways. And you say, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So great. So what? So how does that not work, you know? And then within spiritual leadership, that goes to another level, right? Like, how many times I've been set or told, or, you know, well, you're supposed to be a deacon, you're supposed to act this way. I'm like, what? No, I'm a human, and I'm gonna make mistakes, and that's your expectation of what spiritual leadership looks like, right? No, I'm gonna have a beer. No, I'm gonna have fun. No, I don't want to go to church. You know, no, I might say some really mean things because I'm really angry and it's the last thing on my nerve and it was the wrong time, you know. Like, yes, I've gone to anger management then. You know, because I'm human, I'm struggling. I have a family member who has another family member in a position of leadership within a spiritual community. And it's an often conversation that we have because she feels that family member should treat them better because, well, you say you're so spiritual and so godly and, you know, I'm your mother and this and that. Wow. And, you know, you should be the example. Well, hold on.
No, we're a family, and we're going to be just as dysfunctional as any other people.
Exactly. And I think that, and again, that's the role of, what is the role of God? What is the role of leadership within a spiritual community and that? So I've always said, I'm never going to have all the answers, and it's not my job to tell you the answers. It's my job to give you resources and opportunity to explore that, to explore your relationship with the Holy Other, be it you call it God or Allah or some holy divine other name. You know, it is not my job to be like, no, you're right, you're wrong. It's to push, like, well, hey, where is that fitting in with you, or how, tell me more, because sometimes I don't think we think about the answers that we kind of reactively state. I don't want to say spew out, but sometimes I think we do say things reactively. Or we'll reject other ideas of spirituality because you're like, no, I don't look like that. I don't like that. But, well, wait a minute. There's a whole world that you're closing yourself off to because of maybe one incident that happened.
It's interesting. Coming back to what we were saying earlier about all of the different faiths having some version of the golden rule. I pulled up, thank you to Uncle Google and our crack team of researchers here at Bear Belief, Buddhism, hurt not others with that which pains yourself. Same thing. Christianity, do to others what you want them to do to you. Confucianism, do not impose on others what you yourself do not desire, which is, you know, different flavor of the same thing. Hinduism, do nothing to others that would cause you pain if done to you. Islam, none of you believes until he wishes for his brother what he wishes for himself. So basically saying, unless you treat others properly, you're not really a believer. Kind of interesting. Jainism. A man should wander about treating all creatures as he himself would be treated. Judaism. What is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbor. That is the whole of the Torah.
There's a South African one as well, Ubuntu. When I rise, we rise.
Exactly.
Or we lead together. Yeah. Right?
And then there's like a whole bunch of others, but like those are, I think, the ones that most people would recognize. So I just find it interesting that there's a truth to that. And what I like about this is that, like, I think at the core, a lot of these religions preach a lot of the same things. Is you know, Christianity came from Judaism. And so I think Islam is like, they're all together. Like when you look at the tree of how they evolved, like they all came from each other. So, which is why they're all fighting over, what is it, Jerusalem?
We're not getting into that. That's not
the topic for today. But
But again, I like when people say, like, if you don't believe in this God, like there's a, you know, very conservative Christianity. It's like, no, if you don't believe in this God, you're going to hell or you have to do the right thing again. That's not what it's about. You know, like it's about a whole lifetime of learning and experience and relationship, not just, you know, one be all to end all. And I think that's where it happens. Like, you know, we kind of getting back to that Christian measuring stick again, where if all of a sudden, like, okay, I've reached the right height to drive. Now I can start batting other people with it. And or in the sense of like, oh, you're not measuring up. You're not measuring up. Or I'm, you know, like how many people do we see in the news or in media in some way or another, you know, saying I'm Christian, but yet doing the most horrific things.
Oh, and we're seeing it all the time right now. I feel like we're living in a very crazy time. Like, I mean, at least in my lifetime. I mean, maybe people who lived through Second World War and the Vietnam War and all those people, they might feel differently. But like, definitely in my lifetime, this is the craziest it's ever felt in terms of, I mean, some people are talking about nuclear threat. Some people are talking about another world war coming, and it does kind of. Today I went to gas my car, and I was shocked at the price of gas, and that is a direct correlation or direct link to all the conflicts that are going on in the Middle East, and we're not even sure. Like nobody can really explain why this is happening. Like the stuff coming out of the White House is nuts right now, and all those people surrounding Trump in this conflict claim to be Christian. It's all that is directly out of the Project 2025 book that was elaborated by extreme right so-called Christian activists, Christian leaning lobbyists. It baffles me. Again, it baffles me. That's why, like, that whole is it possible to have a completely ethical life without believing in a higher power? I would reverse that and ask the question, just because you believe in a higher power, does it mean that you're leading an ethical life? And clearly, to me anyway, the answer is no. There are too many examples right now going around in the world where this is clearly a problem, and you can brandish the cross and brandish the Bible in my face as much as you want. You are not leading a moral life. You are not leading an ethical life. And how dare you, like, judge me back when you've got blood on your hands and hate and so much almost evil. Like, you're doing evil in the world. Like, I don't consider bombing people moral. It to me, it's never moral. It will never be moral. Do not bomb people. That's crazy.
Right. So again, like many people on Good Friday or Palm Sundays or whatnot, do various parades.
Yeah.
Right out in the streets. Well, this bill prevents that now.
I don't think it does.
You cannot do public forms of worship and prayer. So the email we had got was like, Bill 9 reinforcing provinces' latency legislation has now been passed and is in force.
In public space. This is the line that is interesting. The bill enacts the act to foster religious neutrality, in particular in the public space. The enacted act prohibits the use of public roads and public parks for the purposes of collective religious practice without the authorization of the municipality. The emphasis here is on collective religious practice. That's the words that we need to, in my interpretation of this, is collective means a group of people practicing as a group. There are already laws on the books for preventing massive groups of people just gathering in an organized way. I think this is a little odd. I don't think this is necessary. We already need permits for this kind of stuff. You can't just show up at a park and decide you're going to have a massive gathering of people.
No, and all this is to prevent prayerful protests, because that's what many of the Muslim communities were doing, was having prayerful protests. And so they were like, no, you can't do that.
But technically, if you're good, and this is where we can get into the stupidity of the whole thing, is I know in most places you need a permit to do these types of massive process. It needs to be permitted and secured and all this stuff. So, and there's an argument to be made that that's crazy, because if we want to respect the right to protest, like, how can you ask for a permit? Like, it's kind of dumb to, you know what I mean? So I get it, but this is the CAQ. Like, this is right up, this is what they've been doing for the last like 10 years. Like, it's this kind of BS.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not surprised. I'm shocked they put this in here.
Well, and this is what the protest has been around with all spiritual communities, right? So it was instituted to sort of target one or two religious groups.
Well, it's the same ones they've been targeting since the beginning. This isn't new.
Exactly. But again, groups should not, like, you still have your liberties of religious expression and your freedom of religion. But how does that work in public space, right? Like, you know, if I'm wearing a cross, no, technically I'm not allowed to wear a cross.
No, you are allowed to wear a cross. According to this bill, you are.
I know, but they keep changing, like, how that's interpreted.
I think this will be challenged, because there are some things in here that are going to go against the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. So I this religion thing of double practicing in public, I think this might be a step too far.
Right. But they had just come back from various superior and supreme whatever courts. Like, it's been through the court systems.
Oh no, this is new. This is brand new. This just got
deep. No, but like, I've been on with the TELC. Oh no, that's Bill 21. Excuse me.
Yeah, no, it's completely different. Okay. No, I know. And they got bitch
cut
slapped.
That out.
No, they got bitch slapped. They totally got bitch slapped by the Superior Court. Supreme Court. Sorry.
So, but again, so this comes back into the, like, where's the Venn diagram of personal rights and freedoms, religious expression, and shared space?
So, as long as you're not forcing me into doing anything for your religion, I don't give a crap. I really don't. There are things
that... are you going to get all cussy about? Like, if there's some, like, whichever, like, say, a Palm Sunday parade going, and then all the roads you want to take aren't there?
But who cares?
They don't care, but then you can't go the way you want to go.
Jessica, we closed down roads in this city for far less important things.
Half of them are done with construction.
You know what I mean? Like, seriously, just today, like, driving around, coming back from the gym, I had to take two detours. Like,
right.
You know, and it's like, it's a fact of living in a city where, like, the metropolitan Montreal area is 4 million people. Like, there are going to be parades. And Lord above, do we ever love parades in this city? We feel like we have a parade every damn Sunday. Like, it's just, there's always something. We're like the land of festivals. In the summertime, most of St. Catherine Street downtown is closed. And they close all kinds of other streets to make them pedestrian. And it's part of what makes the city the city. So so if you're offended by this stuff and you can't understand that there's enough importance to these things for you, then what are you doing in a city? Go live in the woods, move somewhere else. I don't care. Like honest to God, it's being selfish. And again, like, if you're gonna abide by this golden rule, like, don't you want people to have the liberty to express themselves and to
live? So is that not like multicultural, multi-faith? Is that so? Ecumenicism—that's another word, right? Of everybody living together versus secular,
and
like let everybody have the rights and get the things that they need to versus taking it away from everyone.
I think this is one of the problems we have in Quebec. Is, and it's probably very similar to other places in the world, where we have this rural culture versus the urban culture. And in Quebec, unfortunately, even though half the population of the province lives in the Montreal area, the voting power is in the rural area. If we look at how many ridings or electoral districts in the U.S. is what they call them, but in Canada, their ridings are... it's imbalanced because we want, for some reason, that's just how it is. So we have this dichotomy of people who live in the suburbs, or not even the suburbs, but people who live in rural areas who have never even seen a Muslim, who've all they've heard about is Sharia law, and they're sitting there in their little farmhouse where they can't even see their neighbors, and they're shaking in their booties because they keep hearing how horrible these Muslims are, and they're taking over. And it's like, meanwhile,
well, right, it's the fear propaganda.
It's the fear propaganda. You know. And this is how we end up with these stupid freaking laws, because the CAC, who is a very populist party, is catering to this BS and they're propagating it. But in the reality is, here we are in Montreal, where you could argue most of our Muslim community is in Quebec, is in Montreal. And honestly, they are lovely people. We, like, when have I ever had, like, it's just, it's crazy. The whole thing is crazy.
So where's the ethics and morality
in that law? Well, it's clearly not. Like, this is, it's not, this is populism. It's wrong. Right. I think, personally,
does it all come from, right? Like, if we're saying fear, you can be ethical and moral without a God, without some form of deity, right? Then, because that's the role God's been given as this judge and sort of, you know.
Well, that's the role we've given him.
We've given it,
we've
right?
We've made him
it,
into
is
that.
Is like, is that, but then, but who kind of keeps us accountable now? Like, where's the accountability? Is there an accountability in ethics and morality?
I think in our society, in our modern society, we have grown into this selfish, selfish people who are just out for ourselves.
But yet you'll get mom mentality when it's so atrocious.
Yeah, maybe.
Right? Like if people sometimes aren't getting food or locked out or kids are being, you see a child being hurt.
Oh yeah, people go bonkers about it.
Right?
Yeah,
because sure, like all of a sudden it makes sense that basic rights should be adhered to.
Yeah.
So again then, if a God is not part of managing that role, then how, it goes back to that same question. How do you keep, you know, that's where laws were created, right? Like the sort of ethics, morality, to actual ramifications, right? Like you kill someone, you're going to jail. You know, that's Old Testament, you know, law first came from those 10 commandments, you know? And
well, the whole point of the Old Testament was to like give people a morality code and a set of laws and how to live. Like if you look at those old
right.
Passages,
and that's how Christendom came in. It was because it was about political groups, kings and whatnot, saying churches, get involved because you're going to give us a social structure to this because you're the ones that have this. And we believe that God is this and that and that. So again, that underlying power of corruption has infiltrated it all, you know?
I think that's a good way to end it. It's corruption. I think that's part of it. These people are honestly, the CAC, like it's all about power. It's all about using the populism.
Right. And that's not ethics.
And manipulating people. We're no longer in that frame of ethics. It's all about grabbing hold of that power, keeping it, making money, and like,
and there's no morality.
Getting
that,
reelected,
right?
And that has nothing to do with morality. Because if there was morality, their approach to the system, and if they were truly wanting to be keeping the state secular, then they wouldn't be making laws about what you can do in a park religiously.
No.
If it was secular, it would be none of their business what goes on in a park. As long as everything is decent and you're not disturbing people, and if you are the type of person to be disturbed because a group of people are praying in a park, like you're nuts. I'm telling you right now, you need to seriously reevaluate your own life and why, and ask yourself, why are you bothered that a bunch of people are praying in a park? Who cares what God they're praying to? Because what I would like to know is, are they gonna, there's a lot of people in Montreal who do yoga in the park. Yoga can be seen as a spiritual practice.
It is a spiritual practice.
Well, it depends.
It started off as a spiritual practice.
No, it didn't. But it's a whole, we should do a deep dive into yoga. But
fair enough.
The spiritual practice came much later on in yoga.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So I think we've done it.
Sounds good.
Perfect. Thank you, everybody, once again for listening to us today. I remind you to, don't forget to like, subscribe, comment. That is the number one thing you can do. You can do it on YouTube at Bear Belief. You can do it on our website, bearbelief.ca. Or you can write us an email, barebelievepodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to subscribe, comment, and like on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much. It's always fun, Jessica.
I have had a great time today.
See you all next time.